worship you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Lord God Omnipotent.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Jesus. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, we just worship you. The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Sounds out of his holy temple. Father, we love you. We worship you and glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you brought your tabernacle among men. You brought it down here into common flesh, bone, lives that we live, the power that you brought into these earthen vessels. The excellency of the power is not of us, but it is of you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We exalt you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Would you just stretch your faith this way and pray for me? Appreciate it so much. I love you, Jesus. I receive your grace. I bless them as you bless me, Jesus. Thank you for our call together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we were in Jude Sunday, and that's where he wants us to go back to the book of Jude, because we didn't get finished up. And we're talking about the power of intercession, really, and the ministry of the intercessor. That's what it's really all boiling down to. We're going to read the book of Jude again. How about that? Just so you'll know you went to church. Hallelujah. Well, we actually didn't read it all Sunday. We got down to the last two or three verses, and then I got back home and I was meditating. I thought, man, I don't think we got those last few verses, and that was the kicker, but it was all really complete as far as that message was Sunday, but God just brought me right back into it. And man, it's powerful. His word's powerful. I know that. Hallelujah. Jude, this is the brother of Jesus Christ in the flesh, but not physical. But they had the same moms, you put it that way. His name was surnamed Judas, but Jude for short. The servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now you say that back to me. Could you? Hallelujah. I say to you, mercy and peace and love be multiplied. Hallelujah. And to you too, Pastor. Okay? Hallelujah. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, this is a kind of a, I don't want to stop too much here, but I will just stop here and then we'll get through most of this chapter pretty quickly and then I'll go back to the last four or five verses. It's kind of an ominous, I mean, it really looks scary towards the end. And if you read Jude, he coincides with Peter. He coincides with some of the last things that that Paul had to say. There's tremendous warnings as the church gets towards the end. There's a tremendous paradoxical thing. It's like, I thought you said that there's a great outpouring. Yes. But You also said there was a great falling away. Yes. I thought you said there would be great miracles and mysteries in the heavens solved and God coming and pouring His glory on the church. That's right. But at the same time, there's going to be tremendous deception. That's right too. So it's like with every truth, there's a counterpart. And it's like the vehemence of the enemy raises up in the last hour. By the way, understand your enemy. Know this, that, you know, I don't have to convince you that the God that you serve is a million, billion. There's no words to describe how many times stronger He is than the one that He created. But understand that the enemy, towards the end, God just saw what He was going to try to do, and He prophesies about it. Now, this one, He is the author of all confusion. He is the personification of insanity. But He's brilliant. He's insanity with a brilliance. He believes, with all believability on his part, that he will win. He believes, if you go back to Ezekiel, if you go back to a Daniel prophecies, that he aspired to ascend above the throne of God. You think, because you're living in a sane mind that is now baptized with the mind of Christ, you think, well, he just knows that he loses in the end. The Word says that, but he doesn't. A liar, a pathological liar, as human terminology calls them, a pathological liar begins to believe their lies. They not only lie, they believe their lies. You say, why does he fight knowing that he's just going to, why don't he just give in? He believes in his deception that he will eventually come out of this, squeeze out of it, circumvent the Word, and trump. He believes, the bottom line, he believes in the end he is going to be God. Now to us, that makes no sense. How could something created go to a place where it trumps the thing created it? It's not going to happen. But understand that you must face him with a tenacity that go ahead at every juncture, that when he does come to you physically or spiritually, don't patty cake with him. Go ahead and just, if you want to say it this way, bust him right in the mouth to start with. Don't make any concessions with him, because he will continue to milk it until you just won't understand how a hangnail come to we got to cut your leg off. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about life. You know, most of the people that have ever went through the end of something, and they just, it's like kingdoms have fallen, and when they're coming in to take the last of the castles, you know, this monarch that ruled, you know what they say? How did it come to this? How did it ever arrive at this? It was one step at a time. But you're smart in the Holy Ghost. So, hallelujah. Ominous? Yes, Jude is. It's talking about end time events. And it's talking about those that are coming as a result of the spirit that is going to be in the last day. And a controlling spirit that's going to be working in many men's lives. He says in verse 4, and I think we'll continue on past this now. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. We covered that Sunday. Number 2, another example. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day that we also covered. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Most amazing part of maybe of Jude to me is that Enoch, the seventh grandson of Adam, prophesied of these, because he actually had a vision of the second coming of Christ. Amazing. 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are as follows: murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they that are separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. He concludes by saying, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, to be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen." A number of the things that we examined Sunday was that he cited a number of examples, and we went back through some of those examples. We looked at how that men stood up, like Abraham, in what God cites here through Jude is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and actually bartered with God. We say bartered, but he was making intercession. He was making intercession, and he got God down to what God would have immediately been ready to do, and that was to say, "God, if there's 10 righteous people in these twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and other surrounding cities combined, if there's 10, he stopped there. God said, "Yeah, okay, I will abate. I will not destroy." And one of the things that we said Sunday was this: we as Christians, it's so easy for us to have a democratic mindset when it comes to winning the lost or standing in a place of who we are in authority. When I say democratic, I'm talking about the majority rules. The majority with God doesn't rule. Truth rules. So God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't grandfather people in. It's not like, okay, the world is getting wickeder and wickeder. You know, it's like, okay. And a lot of, now the mindset of, without saying so, of a lot of the church is because this is the 21st century, what was unacceptable, you know, maybe at the turn of the century, that's old school. Well, if it wasn't truth, it was old school. But if it was truth, and if it was sin then, it's still sin now. God doesn't grow progressively and say, okay, look, okay, most of my church is in a place where they don't even think that's sin anymore, so I guess I'm going to have to progress with them. I'm a progressive God. No, God is truth. He always has been truth. And so the amazing part to me is that though He loves people so much, He looks for authority, but He doesn't look for the authority in numbers per se. The more of us that are praying sincerely, it will make a difference. But it's not like, okay, because the nation is divided and we've got a lot of perversion and we've got a lot of this and we got... So the Christian mentality is, this thing's in a slide anyway. Jesus just come back. Look, that's not what He says in Jude. When we get to these last few verses, He tells you this ominous, a lot of bad stuff. I mean, these guys are... There's a couple of things to realize here. There's a promotion of indoctrination by those that are saying He's not coming, or maybe leading others in a persuasive manner through their lifestyles, and just doing a lot of, the Word calls them mockers. But then there are those that follow the mockers. And that's... It's the entirety of the Spirit, I should say, that is coming in the last days. And it's coming to fight the church. But the beautiful part is these last few verses, it's like you could draw a line after 19 and say, okay, that's all of the stuff that's coming. And that's all of the stuff that we're looking at the last day, in the last hours. And I can't describe exactly what all these look like, or I have no names to give you, and neither would I. But I can tell you this, it is a spirit. It's a spirit that invades. But whether it's Abraham standing or whether it was Moses, we gave you the example. He said, I want you to remember that even though the Lord brought out a bunch, He also destroyed a bunch, because He was talking about the judgment of God. But the beautiful part, again, as I said, after 19, He says this, or I will read 19 so we can get to 20. These be they who have separated all this bunch above, separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So then you would think, okay, that's a wash. We know where they're headed. We know what they're after. This really bad description, I don't want to be in all of this other. I don't want to be a part of that. And yet He goes on to say, that's that bunch. They've separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's a common scripture to us. We enjoy that. We enjoy that most, I should say, predominantly up to this point, probably in a sense of the effect that it has on us. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But Jude is going past us here. He's introducing the Holy Spirit to take it past us. What's next? Okay, you're telling us He's building us up. Well, He builds us up to do what? It keeps us in the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's His love to me. And perfect love casts out all fear. And that's the ground piece. That's the groundwork by which we're able to launch into a revival and say, look, whatever comes, whatever goes, we're not afraid. We know there's warfare because we've seen it, but we're not afraid. But Jude is telling us something even more. He's telling us something as intercessors. Keep yourself, he says, but you, beloved, building yourself up, building yourself up, building yourself up. Sounds like 1 Corinthians 14. We build ourselves up. Praying in other tongues. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As a result thereof, you'll keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I'm looking for this mercy hitherto. Primarily, I probably have thought I'm looking at this as who He is in me and the development of who He is in me. And that's exactly right. But Jude is saying we're looking for His mercy. That mercy first appears in us. Of course, it has to. The love of God has to be perfected in us. But you have to understand that Jude's mindset is taking you past whatever it's just happening in you. Because the next verse tells us, of some have compassion, making a difference. This whole bunch listed above weren't all zeroed out. He said, some, you can make a difference through the love of God. You can still make a difference. And this was the message Sunday. We fold too easy sometimes because we look at this big machine of Satan coming down the road. It looks like this ominous, our college campuses, they're being destroyed. Our cities are being destroyed. And by all practical appearance, that's right. We are the minority. But what a difference can our prayers make? First being fueled by the love of God, because out of that love, then there's a faith that appears inside of us that says, I can make a difference. He said of some, even to all this junk. Now the word's not junk, but filthy dreamers, those perverting the truth, those whatever else you could put in this. Jude is telling us, now yeah, there's going to be some that slide off into this. But he's saying, look, you don't know the ones that you can still make a difference with. You can make such a difference. And Jude describes this. He says two things. He actually, as it appears, it looks like it's a progression here of some having compassion, making a difference. Everybody say, we can make a difference. Hallelujah. We can. We are. Of some making a difference through the compassion of God, and of others saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how you see this. I know the picture that appears in my mind is here's the intercessor who's built himself up on the love of God and sees the difference they can make. They are told by their commander-in-chief, pray for these. Believe for these. Believe for a difference. See them as having the ability to change. Even people that when it looks like, my God, they've just, not just the ones you know, but the ones you don't know, they've just gone too far. They'll never change. He said, on some having, by way of compassion, making a difference. On others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. There will be places by us in the last days as intercessors that it's as if, per se, it's as if we're sliding on asbestos gloves and reaching into the pit. I mean, reaching into places where people don't like to go, and pulling them out of the bondage that they're in, perversions, all kinds of things that people just hate, or things that, if you even touch this person, you're going to be indicted by others, or you're going to be maligned by others, or you're going to be whatever by others. He said, you're pull them out. You can make a difference. Everything. Wait a minute, Jude. You're just telling me that everything that you just described here about all this evil that's coming, we can still make it. That's right. You can still make a difference. Now, there's going to be some, no matter what, and God has to deal with them. But he says, you don't know even the ones that you can slide on. Maybe you got to put on an asbestos suit and go right into the fire. And once you get them out and get them over here on the side where they're sane, where their mind is, you're like, woo! Your garment is spotted by the flesh. It smells. It reeks of the flesh. That's right. But what pulled them out of there? Your intercession, building yourself up on the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. This is what Jude is talking about. It's not just about us. In fact, it's far more than us. It's us in Him. What is the Holy Ghost given to us for? Build up yourself. Yes. What's the next step? What's next? What's next is reach into the fire. Pull them out. They stink because they got a bad lifestyle and their whole life is spotted by the flesh. But that's okay. Jesus said, you'll pick up serpents and they will not harm you. He was not. He couldn't have been talking to the 21st century person. If I get bit by a serpent, I'll use that scripture. That's not the one that I use daily when you go in and you're messing with people that have the ability to bite, that have the ability to misinterpret all the love that you're trying to give them. Hallelujah. He said this, keeping yourselves in the love of God, as a result thereof, you're looking for the mercy. Mercy for who? Well, mercy for me, yes, but even more so for those that you'll make a difference. Of some having compassion, making a difference. Of some, of others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. As a result of the power or the call of the intercessor, let's look at a couple of favorite places that people like to use and use as scriptures in claiming things for themselves. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We're talking about the power of the intercessor, the call, the importance thereof. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Very simple, three verses. When you pray, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As you read this, and then others of the gospel will have it as well. But thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. This is a perfect prayer. How do you know? Because a perfect man prayed it. The example is not just in the conciseness of it. It is an example of a skeleton, a perfect skeleton. Out of that skeleton is all the seed form of every part of anything that you could pray. Anything that you could pray. And every part that is perfect in our prayer to God. We're not here to teach on that. But Jesus, as a result on talking about prayer, gives us what's on His heart. Do you know Jesus thinks that once you're in here, you're all well and you're all healed and you're ready for service? I didn't get too many amens I got. We spent about 3/4 of our life sitting in a pew trying to figure out how to get us healed mentally, physically, get us ready for ministry. Hello. You're ready tonight. Amen. You're ready tonight. What about the part? Oh, be quiet for a little bit. Could you just hush about yourself for a little bit? I'm talking about hush about your weaknesses. Because when he's talking about prayer, when Jesus is talking about prayer, he wasn't talking about you. He was talking about what your prayer should be for helping somebody else. Evidently, he must have thought you had your act together. Or you would go on, subsequential, and get it together. I bet if you rode around to pick up with him all day and you talked, you'd get out in the evening and say, didn't you have anything to tell me? I mean, you know, we've just laughed and joked and I felt so edified today and man, I feel like $1 million. Could you? I know there's a rebuke coming here somewhere, so go ahead. You know, go ahead. No? Didn't really have anything to say on that. I figured you'd take care of that. I figured you'd just, that'd be incidental. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So he wants us to understand all that he's teaching us is really mostly about other people. Okay. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now I'll get preachy here or teachy and say the 3 loaves is every part of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Might as well tell you up front. The whole encompassment of everything that a person needs. So he's saying to you, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For another friend, a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, when he's saying I have nothing to set before him, I've got to give you where we're going to tell you this part. He's talking about the life of an intercessor. And you're going to go to the Father. And everything that he's about to tell you is you going to the Father. Because a friend has come to you. And that is any friend. That's any person that comes into your circumference of where the Holy Spirit begins to say, you can make a difference. You can get them saved. Or they're walking through something in their life right now. They don't really know who they are, especially in Christ. You need to do something intercession-wise for them. He says, this friend will go to another friend and say, a friend has come to me in his journey of life, and I have nothing to set before him. He's not saying that you are without. He's saying that you have nothing of yourself to offer. You have nothing of yourself. In fact, the parts of me that you love, that's Christ in me. The parts of me that have ever ministered to you, that's Christ in me. The advice that I can give you that won't help is the part that I think that I know, and I'm just going to give it because I think that I've rehearsed it. He says, I have nothing to give him. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto thee, or unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Wow. Yet because of his importunity or his consistency or persistency, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And we're going to find out that that is not God. It's an example of humanity to get you to a place of a greater realization of who God is. But he's got to put you in a perspective here of you asking a friend. And the friend say, no. What are you doing out there? Don't wake us up. The house is settled. And you're out there saying, I need something that I don't have. I've got to give it to this person because he needs it. He's on a journey. And Jesus said, not because of your friendship, but because of the persistency, I'm not going away. So then he says this, I say unto you, he will not rise, verse 8 again, Because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, how many times have you heard somebody say, man, you just keep seeking? You're going to get it. The fruit of that is true. First of all, God wants you to have it if it's his will from the very beginning. But this isn't about seeking God for cars. This isn't about seeking God for a promotion at your workplace. The heart of this is all about intercessors. Everything that Jesus says about knocking, seeking is a continual posture. He says this. He said, I say unto you, asking, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. This is exactly what he's saying. It's all about us going to the Father. Because we don't have just one person in our journey. We've got a lot of people. And I don't know how to reach them. He does. I've got to keep seeking. I've got to keep asking. I've got to keep knocking. Because what he wants to give to me is this. He says, if a son, verse 11, shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, you know, there's no way I'm going to give little Joe a stone when he asks a piece of bread. Will he give him, if he asks a fish, will he, for the fish, give him a serpent, turn right around? No. Or if he should ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Jesus is basically putting this in human terminology and saying, look, just in the daily workings of mom and dad and just with your kids, there's no way that you would give them anything other than what they would ask. And he says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And of course, you've heard me explain this before when I'm standing telling people, look, you can get the Holy Ghost because when you ask the Father, he'll give you the Holy Ghost and you won't get a scorpion or scorpion. But I always tell them, you guys know what I'm talking about. They don't understand. That's the fruit of it. He's not talking about you speaking in tongues there. He's talking to you about you as an intercessor are knocking and seeking because a friend has come and he says, if you keep knocking, oh, I'm going to knock, knock, knock. Jesus, I'm claiming that new F-150. I'm claiming that new job. I'm claiming that. That's not the context of the scripture. You're seeking God because a friend has come. And the promise is, look, I'm not even the guy behind the door. Because the guy behind the door is compared to humanity. I am the one that could not even possibly, for a moment, as your Heavenly Father, give you anything less than what you're asking for. And what you need is the Holy Ghost. Not for you to pray in tongues. Yes, you're praying in tongues, but what you're trying to get is the empowerment of His love, because what you're wanting to do is the Holy Ghost here is not for you. The Holy Ghost here is the endowed wisdom and the grace and the glory and the empowerment. It is the answer to the knocking and the seeking. It is the answer for the waiting on God, because what He does is He gives you the empowerment now to reach in with asbestos gloves and say, God, ain't no way that I know what to do with this person. Especially family members. Because you done tried it 50,000 times. And it ain't no way. That's right. Because you've exhausted all of your knowledge. You have nothing to put before them. You have nothing to put before them. But you must ask, because the empowerment of the Holy Ghost is that which is necessary for you to make a difference. On some, you will make a difference. On all our family members that we, if we can sit, if we persist, we will make a difference. And it'll mushroom past our family members. What God wants us to have is the Holy Ghost. We have to have the Holy Ghost because our ideas won't work. But the Holy Ghost can use us in some of the most unorthodox ways. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to preach to them. Our words, filled with power, can reach them. It can reach them. One other. Are you getting anything out of this? One other. Matthew chapter 7. Now we've went over this a number of times, and to belabor it's not necessary. On this is probably best use. Non-Christian scripture in all the Bible. Judge not. They don't even go to church. They don't know the scripture. They don't have a Bible. They do know this verse. Look, we've been living together a long time. I don't need you Christians judging me. Judge not. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean it at all. Judge not. That you be not judged. Jesus, thank you for teaching us. For what judgment, or with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Well, I understand that part. And he says, Jesus said this, Why would you behold a mote that is in your brother's eye, mote meaning splinter? He says, in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam, 2x4, 4x4. It really isn't that kind of, Jesus is really giving you some kind of an exaggerative kind of understanding here. But you consider not this beam that's in your own eye. How wilt thou say, how? Now the question is this. This is what eventually you are supposed to be empowered to do through the asking, seeking, and knocking. How are you going to say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? He's saying it doesn't work that way. You can't minister reconciliation and healing and intercession. See, the one thing that if there's a pounding that goes on around here with a wet noodle, it's all about love, love, love. Because that's the end. Praying in tongues is all taking us to one place, love. And the perfection of love in us and the revelation of love. You remember what Dave was talking about? Ought, offenses. How much it has something to do with our prayers being answered. Mark chapter, was it 11? When you stand praying, speak to the mountain. But when you stand praying at the end of it, forgive. Forgive. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So I said, man, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? What he's saying is there is this. You're in a posture of prayer. You just spoke to the mountain. You're in a posture of prayer. You're wanting to go forward. This person's standing there. He's not, she's not ignorant. The Holy Spirit will not let them be ignorant of the fact that there's something there to be forgiven. You got to get it straight. And what he's saying there is this. He can't forgive your trespasses. Because what you're standing there is in a posture of prayer going forward. You're wanting something from God. You're wanting to go forward. You're wanting your prayers and petitions answered. So you're standing in a posture of prayer. Well, this is not a place of ignorance. This isn't a place, wow, I didn't know that. It's going to come to you. But when it comes to you, you've got to understand this. Releasing that person has everything to do with him dealing, when he says he cannot forgive your sins, he's talking about bringing you forward. He's talking about working in your life, your promotion, your going forward spiritually, or whatever it is that you need. He can't work in those areas when you're holding somebody else at bay over here. It's impossible. He can't forgive. He cannot bring you forward, deal with all your weaknesses while you're holding somebody else in contempt. So it's all about love. It really is. And the promotion of him taking us from glory to glory, it's all about love. So that's why he keeps building us up on our most holy faith. Praise God. He says this, "Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote that is the splinter that is in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again rend you." He's talking about taking those Holy Spirit tweezers, which is the Word of God, which you were going to pluck that empowered to pluck whatever it is out of your brother's eye. He can't see why he keeps messing up. Now, really, the essence of this is prayer. It really is. You better know that you know that you know that you're reeking with love before you go to somebody and start addressing their faults. In fact, go overboard not to do that. Fight the Holy Spirit, per se. Let Him convince you. I'm telling you, it's me! Because you have got to the place where you love them so much you don't want to say anything. Hallelujah. So he says this. Again, ask and it shall be given. Ask what? I need help here. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to help you in your weaknesses. It shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asketh, same thing as in Luke's, but a different way, different setting that he said this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that asketh, knocketh, it shall be opened. I know that we can use this as a fruit. Okay, if you want to use this as a fruit, the kingdom works this way. If you believe and you don't faint, and you continue to, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But this is not the root. The root is you're asking and seeking for somebody here. You're knocking for somebody. For what man is there of you, of whom if his son, same thing he says, ask bread, will he not give him, or will he give him a stone? Ask fish, will he give him a serpent? Answers to these, no, no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Therefore, as he says, therefore, this is the conclusion, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. See, here's the deal. The intercessor, if he goes to the place, they're going to get God's going to come to them. And I'm not talking going back to the premise or the very first thing I said. You're unleashed. You're supposed to be unleashed. You're supposed to see yourself at least healthy enough to be out. So the intercessor in love, sometimes you won't trust yourself, but he'll prove himself to you. The part that'll make you know it's right is that there's no ambition inside of you to expose. There's no ambition inside of you to hurt. But what he really wants is, the first part of that was the judgment that you made out of the flesh. Why was it of the flesh? Because you yourself had not allowed a purging process in you. You still had parts of you that didn't really like people too much. But once you start loving people more, then the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things that you can intercede over their life. Because you can see things. And then you're privately in your prayer closet. You're asking God to remove that splinter. You're asking God to... Now listen, don't start looking at people and start praying your prayers over them. Because there's no such thing as this, but that's kind of a witchcraft in your... God, let her get with him. And let, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit may, as a mother or father, show you eventually. Lord, I don't like the way pastor's been preaching. Don't let him teach on that no more. Father, I'm asking that he won't teach on that no more. Well, what would I do if I disagree with Father, conform his mind that he preaches and teaches what you would have him. Always go back to him. Not what you don't like, what you would care for. Well, I think we need more of this subject. So, Father, I'm asking that you'll put on his heart this subject. Really? Pray that he conforms my mind to his mind. And do you know how much we need each other in these last days? To pray one for another. And to lift each other up. And to call on each other. Call on God for each other. You are my friends. You have come to me in your journey. I have nothing to set before you. Nothing of myself. But I'm asking God, often, as you come up. Hey, let me ask you this. I ask you this often. How many will pray for your pastor when he brings me to your mind? I appreciate that so much. We're on a journey. This that I'm thinking of right now didn't promote this message. I'm not greater than you. I'm not more selected in him than you. But given the hours that I do pray, and it's hard, it would be hard for many of you to keep those hours with what your call is right now. But with the hours that I'm praying and the time in the Word, just as my life, and that's who I am, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, there, God has me out there. He has me in a place where we're kind of out on the front line. I appreciate your prayers. I've met a couple of, I don't know if it's a couple or one or whatever. I've met some things in the Spirit in the last couple months that I have never met before. They're not harder than whatever your devils are, whatever you're facing. All I'm saying is, going forward where we're going, and you're promoting me in the Spirit, praying for me, I've run into some guy that's just different. I've explained it to my wife. You're all going to run into the same kind of devils as you go forward. Those of you that are praying a lot, you'll get to them a lot faster. Does that make you happy? You've already won before you get there. This one must have had a different rank. I never noted one quite as persistent. And I'm talking about spiritual things. It's all spiritual things. It's all good. It's all good. You know what? What I've seen is these guys stand as guardians trying to block yours and mine next level of glory. The only thing is, they're not going to be able to do it. Never have and never will. You're in places where you've never been before. If you're praying, you're in places where you've never been before, or just around the corner, you'll be in a place where this is new to you. And the devil that you're... The old devils are... None of them's fun, but old ones, you're like, we know how to handle this one. New ones take a different trust in God, because you're like, God, you've got to show me how to handle these things. But I'll tell you this, if new devils mean higher glory, I'm excited. I'm excited because Immokalee is saved. And every one of us need to remember this. We often, I continue to tell you, pray in tongues. Let that be your staple. Come out of tongues at times. I'm not talking about seasons. I'm talking about during your prayer time. Listen to God. Who's he pulling up in your spirit to pray for? What family members? What people in the church? What other people that may even be people that are people out there in the world that are have a high profile? You are intercessors. All of you are called this. All of you. Well, I'm not coming down to the women's... Listen, you as an ambassador of Christ are supposed to be saying, Lord, I have nothing for them, but I'm asking for the Holy Ghost. You're not asking for the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. You already speak in tongues. You're asking for the Holy Ghost to offer to them in intercession what you're now able to do. Because all in this process, he's saying, I'm pulling all this stuff out of you. As a result, you're able to see. You can see. You're not blind. You can make judgments now, but they're spiritual judgments, and they're weighty with compassion. They're weighty with compassion. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Isn't He wonderful? He is so wonderful. Pray for me. I will pray for you. And by the way, it's really, I got to testify, it's sweeter than it's ever been. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we love you. Yes, sir. Maria Kierastio. Fred Shinda Devena Christie. Shtiapla Christemand. Ifra. Ifra. Stevrestiete. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Father. Say to them to continue into things that they know. Do not strive, but wait patiently for me, saith the Spirit of grace. I will promote you, and I will bring you forward. For the promotion that you need is the exaltation from out of the things of the flesh that are guarding places where the enemy is trying to keep up. But know this, these things cannot stay. And while you're on this journey, have a good time. Have a good time, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's good. Praise God. How many of you love each other? Amen. We're going to worship God. Give each other a great big hug. And hey, listen, pray for the church. Pray for the finances. We're not in trouble. But even if you were going through something like, it's hard for me to give right now, this is your part. Pray. Pray. Because guess what? We got an internet that's going around the world. Your prayers can touch somebody. Said, well, man, I just got a windfall. And God contributed that to you and to your prayers for this church. You didn't have anything to put in, but you sure prayed. And somebody over in Spain or France or Pakistan or someplace sent something on the behalf of your prayers. I believe it. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us. We ask you now to bless this time of sharing and giving. Bless your people. As, Lord, they receive these words, and let us walk as intercessors in these last days, lifting each other up. And also those that you'll give us in the world to go in and get as a result being built up on our most holy faith. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Friday night is graduation. So a lot of people will be at graduations in Naples and in Fort Myers. So hallelujah. All right. All right. You're blessed. And if you have something to bless with, bring it forward. Lots of hugs and kisses, and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.